Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 24th. My name is Michael Kelly and here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, you know, I'm glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you and, as always, so glad to have those joining us live in the chat. And always a shout-out to those that listen to our archives as well. In addition to this broadcast tonight, you can find other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as a reminder, the Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. We're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, you know, we're going to have a bit of an interesting discussion, and Dr. Vicki, why don't you get us started? You had a really good idea about tonight. I think we lost Dr. Vicki. Dr. Vicki?
Oh,
good God, I couldn't. Thank you. I couldn't do this on my own. You're back. All right, we're good. All right, everybody, we're good.
I'm sorry. We're good. I really appreciated Dr. Kelly's newsletter the other day on beliefs and actions. And, you know, one of the things that came to mind, not only the things that I had to learn about myself over the years, but I once asked a woman, it was in a discussion, and I said, well, what's your religion of choice? And she said, well, I'm a Christian, of course. I said, well, that's not a choice. It's just the way it is. No, I said, it's your choice. You're choosing to stay along that line of thinking. Well, that's the way I was taught. And I said, but you've adapted that as a conditioning without exploration. But you choose to believe that. And that's not a judgment. It's not a criticism. It's just an awareness of what you claim to believe in that you think comes naturally, but it's really conditioning. Well, that upset her, you know, but it was a good reminder for me in reading the newsletter. I would like to go over a couple of points, Michael, if that's cool with you,
that
Dr. Kelly wrote. So he begins by saying, belief, it's a given that some kind of action must be taken for belief to realize its full power. So instead of that, beliefs without actions is largely impotent. However, beliefs, especially strong beliefs, will be acted upon in some fashion, even if it's in small ways. So all of our actions are driven by beliefs. So what do we believe in? You know, that's a really good question. Because if we don't stop and question our own thinking, our own ideas, our own processing, we don't know what's really ours, what's right for us, good for us, how we've been conditioned or trained by society. So Dr. Kelly goes on, sometimes we can act on instinct without thinking, and therefore without a belief. And while he agrees that action is required in order for belief to be realized, he's arguing that human beings, especially adults, do not act solely on instinct. Now, I have to agree with that, but we do have this innate natural fight, flight, you know, freeze kind of thing going on. But even the instinctive fight or flight response invoked in dangerous situations is influenced by a belief, because different people will react differently to the same situation. Now, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
In fact, he says, individuals in certain occupations, such as law enforcement and military, are trained to deal with such situations, so they do not potentially react poorly. But this underscores the fact that training is really nothing more than belief management, which that's a belief management situation.
Mm-hmm.
So another point he makes is belief still drives actions. For example, many cases have been reported in the news and elsewhere where a person is being harmed in front of onlookers and others did nothing to stop it because they did not want to get involved or were afraid. So their inaction was in reality an action derived from their beliefs. Fear is nothing more or less than a belief. Now, that's another one. I don't know, Michael. Maybe I'm reading more into this, but I don't think so. I think that's really an important factor of what your belief system is when it comes to, I should be afraid, I shouldn't be afraid, when did I learn to be afraid?
There are some things that are going to be primal, and there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be based on the reality you've constructed. I was listening to a podcast about basically the Christianization of the Germanic peoples and then the Nordic peoples and, you know, the kind of the shift of things over time. And, you know, one thing they pointed out was that in the early battles, the reason that these Northmen dominated so much is because their entire belief system was structured around the glory of dying in battle and how that, you know, all of our societies are, you know, carrots and sticks to try and get certain behaviors, right? And so their society, their gods glorify the violent death. The, you know, Christians they were going up against, your average peasant farmer has been raised on, you know, hearing the tale of Jesus and pacifism and things like that, turning the cheek. Obviously, you know, the times did not reflect the supposed values. We all know this. But nonetheless, they're talking about the very fact that you have a fundamental different belief system, different outlook on life means that you're going to approach a terrifying situation. One of the most primal fears that you can have going into battle. And a fervent belief will eliminate a natural primal fear.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
yeah.
Completely opposite, where a fervent belief will give you a, you know, at times nonsensical fear. But belief is a powerful thing, and it's a dangerous thing, and we have to be cognizant and aware of it. But, you know, it's a powerful tool, and it's something that we can harness, and hopefully we use critical thinking to make sure it's in line with our values, and it, you know, is something that we're being mindful of and we're not being led by. But I have more thoughts, too, but I don't want to take up all the time.
No.
You go.
It's good. Yeah, that's good stuff. So Dr. Kelly goes on to say, one other argument might be to seem to support the idea that actions are more powerful than beliefs is that of professed beliefs such as religion. Since people often act contrary to their beliefs in religion, isn't action more powerful than the belief? And he says no. He contends that a person never acts contrary to his or her beliefs. One's true inner beliefs are not necessarily the same as their outward professed beliefs. Whoa. This is why sometimes you know, we say, sometimes say that a person showed his or her true colors. And I've seen that a lot. So he says, beliefs always precede actions.
Yeah. Can we take a minute real quick to also point out that how many times have you known somebody that in, you know that they haven't seen their own true colors, right?
Right.
One thing I think we forget a lot of times with people is that people don't know themselves, and liars often lie to themselves first. It's all kind of a delusion, but go on.
I'm glad you're, dwelling on that a little more, because this is what I meant earlier when I mentioned about self-awareness, is am I thinking, speaking, and acting all in the same way? You know, that's an important step in self-realization, self-awareness of, it's a whole discovery of, am I being true to who I am? You know, this whole word of, flying around about be authentic self. Well, what is your authentic self? A lot of times it's like what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, and what I'm doing are all different. So how is anybody else to know who we are?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my granddaughter recently said to me about her part-time job, well, I can only be half of myself there. I said, that's all a job ever is. Because, it's like your insurance agent doesn't care if you have a dog. Like, they don't care. The banker doesn't care if. So you're only showing that part of yourselves to the outside world, which is where I, in metaphysical parenting, I especially go to, we're born with a nature. Then we're developing a character as we're conditioning into the world. But as we're now existing, coexisting with the world, we're living this one slice of personality. But it's a slice of the pie. So it's kind of working like backward. It's, okay, what personality am I delivering to the world? Have I got a personality for each type of my friends? My children, what I'm saying, kind of thing. But what are my characteristics? Who am I as a character? But then really, what's in my nature? So what is my inner nature? How am I built? How do I think? How do I feel? What are my senses? It's like if somebody is an introvert versus an extrovert, is that a natural thing for them? Is somebody more passive or are they more warrior? Would that be more natural? And so that's what I mean by kind of working backward toward becoming more aware. And then you can say, okay, am I being honest with this authentic self to say what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, and what I'm doing, my actions, are all the same. And I can apply these various parts of myself in each unique situation, but being real. And I think a lot of people don't know they're living in these contradictions. And that's part of the work that I've done with people is, but that's not what you said. Yes, but what I meant is, why can't you just take it for what I meant to say? I said, you're making me work hard to decipher what you meant to say when I'm taking you for your actual words.
Mm.
So you're making me have the responsibility of the conversation when you're responsible for delivering accurately what you mean to say. Oh, and that upsets people too, because, we're so used to what I call the cul-de-sacs of thinking and communication. Then we do double talk, talk in circles. We don't get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, to me, different than, information is a need-to-know basis. Because if you didn't ask me, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, which I think that's based, different. I think, huh?
Yeah, so it's, but I it really struck me that newsletter. I appreciate the newsletters, by the way. It's awesome, Dr. Kelly. So it's, I'm just going to carry on, Michael. Then we're going to talk more about this because He says in here, we're literally living our lives following habits. In fact, we could not do much of anything if it were not for our ability to form habits. We would have to learn how to do something all over again each time we did it. And that's really important in how we want to improve ourselves. Mm-hmm. As an individual, that's to me the commitment to the spiritual self as well as the human self.
Absolutely.
So he says, additional proof that our beliefs can reside in our unconscious minds is that of psychological issues such as low self-esteem, them esteem, and other baggage that we pick up in our lives, which is really true, especially while growing up. A poor self-concept or self-belief and other unconscious fears can and do rule our behaviors and actions. People see psychologists, spiritual counselors, life coaches, and hypnotists to overcome deep-seated issues that hold them back from successful lives and relationships. And that's, you know, each of us does a little digging, you know. And I'm going to tell you, people, it never ends, by the way. It just keeps giving. You know, it's, oh, where did I get that from? Where did I get that from? The key to making changes is to replace a negative with something better. Because if you just say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore, in the unconscious behavior, it's just going to – I'll give you an example. When I first had kids, I had caught myself slamming cupboard doors. Oh, and I realized one day, I am so irritating myself. It's like, why do I slam cupboard doors? Well, my mother did that. Oh, I'm not doing that anymore. And about a week or two later, I realized I was slamming my fist on the counter. Because I hadn't replaced a bad habit with something more positive. So I had to get to the bottom of that conditioning, that, you know, those negative, dysfunctional, you know, kind of thorns, I call mm-hmm. them, as they pulling out another thorn. So it's just like, okay, I have to, what I call, trade it up. What is a better way that I want to behave that doesn't exert this need for control, frustration, and cause others anxiety? Because that's what I was doing. And I didn't want to inadvertently pass that on to my kids. Trust me, I passed on other things, but it wasn't that. You know? And so it's really about the self-observations, even in the smallest things, and replacing them, asking yourself, kind of, where did I get that? And not, it's not for anybody's punishment or, you know, whoa, you know, I don't like them anymore. Look at all the baggage I got. It's not about that. It's really about everybody in life, I believe, to the best of their capacity and ability, is doing what they can. They're getting through mm-hmm. a day. Each of us, they can have 10 kids in a family, and each of them are going to tell you a different story about their life. You could have 2 kids in a family, and they're each going to have a different story because they lived a different life. So it's perspective. Reality is subjective. Mm-hmm. But you're, you know, forming one belief on top of another, on top of another. So it's, you know, it really struck me, Michael. I thought it was a really powerful, that's a powerful message to share with people. It's been a lot of my work. One. Yeah, you know, Kevin is writing, there's a quote in the article, believe it's the greatest enslaver, but also the greatest liberator when we hold the reins. Thank you for that, Kevin. You know, it's true. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see Kevin's message up a little bit earlier?
I haven't read it. I've been too busy talking.
Well, since we're talking about Kevin and giving him a shout-out, let's share this little story that he shared with us. He wanted to share with the group that he had experiences with what he believed to be a type of spirit. It's the first in his lifetime. His daughter had rented an 18th century beach house in Connecticut on the shoreline to celebrate Father's Day. While they were relaxing by the pool, they saw a Hemenasset maiden. I'm really crossing my fingers on the pronunciation. And I apologize to any local First Nations people. Appear and disappear. She was dressed in ceremonial red. I didn't mention it to anyone. The next day, I tripped and fell in the exact same spot she was standing. And he thinks that she was trying to give him a warning. So, a little bruised, a little bent wrist, but he's most, you know, pretty much okay. And word to the wise to take the warning when you see it.
Well, now, this is a good example of what we're talking about. Now, it's not that Kevin doesn't believe. He said he's never seen it before. So he could have dismissed that as kind of a hallucination or something. I don't know if you're drinking cocktails, Kevin, but probably not. I'm just teasing. But, you know, you can just kind of write it off and say, no, I don't believe in that. Must have been something trippy. But you were open-minded. And that is a learning experience to take you into shifting the mind from one belief to another. But it indicates an open mind to it. And I like that. I also like that you see spirits.
I
know. Good story.
It's interesting. I hope to one day. You know, there are times where, you know, there are times from being a kid, you know how memory works, especially my memory. My childhood memories are, you know, a little faint and fuzzy these days as I age into my elderly sunset years. So I'm thinking back, and there were a couple of times, like one time, like I imagined what it would be like to see a ghost, and I told people, like my friends at school, that I saw a ghost. But I'm like thinking back on it, I'm pretty sure it was me imagining, like, after watching Unsolved Mysteries or something. I remember looking into the backyard. It was at night, and I kind of scared myself by, you know, thinking about it. And I can still picture it in my memory, the imagination, or maybe not, I don't know. But that's kind of how I remembered it, of a woman in a white dress strolling across her backyard. And I'm pretty sure I just was coming up and being imaginative on that one. But I swear there was a time when I was at my grandparents' place in St. Louis that I, out of the corner of my eye, while I was staying up watching Nick at Night, and out of the corner of my eye, I see what I think is like a, you know, a gentleman what might be a 1930s style white linen suit with a, you know, one of those little hats that you would wear with it, you know. And I thought I saw him standing there. I looked and there was nothing there. And that was the only time that ever happened. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Well, again, you know, kids naturally are, naturally, I think, conditioned, encouraged to have that kind of imagination. And it's okay maybe to have an imaginary friend. But you get to a certain age and they want you to put them away because now you're not well.
Speaking of which, I always wanted to have an imaginary friend, and I tried, and like, and I would pretend to have an imaginary. It never happened. I never got into it. I'm like, I could never. I wanted an imaginary friend so bad because of its, you know, you hear about it as a kid and stuff, but I was like, I get bored of it. My imaginary friends, they weren't consistent. Like I had as a little kid, you know, 5, 6, I had like these stuffed animals that they would play roles in different, you know, productions I was putting on of like a, you know, spaceship bridge or, you know, something like that. And, I did that kind of stuff, but yeah, I really wanted an imaginary friend. Didn't come around though.
Well, you know, there's a lot of religions that would say that that's the devil's work, it's evil, you know, talk about seeing spirits or you're cursed. And yet it's a belief system followed by an action of ridiculing others and condemning, not to mention, big history on that one. that we won't go there. But there's also one that's very encouraging. And yet, someone like yourself is saying, I think I did, but I didn't. I don't know. And how come I don't see them?
Like, you know? The first one as a kid, like, I remember, like, thinking, what would it be like? And then kind of picturing it. That's kind of what I remember. So, that one, I don't think that I actually saw something. But I tell you, it's still a formative memory because I can still see it in my mind's eye clear as day.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe I'm, like, covering. Maybe my memory doesn't want to think that I saw it. Who knows? I'm pretty sure I imagined it. I thought I imagined at the time. But I can still see it clear as day. It's one of those like weird things about you're growing up and you're picturing things, and somehow you're like your consciousness sparks. So that's like a permanent memory now. And I'm like, why is that a permanent memory? You know, I'm rewatching Sequest, and like little snippets and flashes of Sequest, a show that was on for 3 seasons, really 2.5, in the early 90s. Like there are snippets and little bits of that that I will remember forever. And I could really use that space for something else. I have other things to remember that I'm forgetting right now. I have to be an adult. So, but yet I can remember things from Sequest from like 1993.
Yeah, well, it had an impact. Yeah. You're more the space guy. Yeah. But again, it's really about beliefs and actions, and it's worth taking a minute or more to just look at ourselves. Now, because I think something doesn't mean I'm going to say it, because I always say, what's my point? What would I hope to achieve by that? You know, or what good will become of that? Just say it. And then how will I act on it? Because I think something, I'm not going to speak it, doesn't mean I should act negatively towards someone, if that makes sense. So it's really checking in with ourselves to be more emotionally mature. And that's where, metaphysical parenting and natural law that in the courses was not just to think, feel, and do, but it's the feel. Sorry, not just, it's the sense, feel, think, and do. Had to cough, Michael.
Ah.
Sinus drip here.
Oh, you're not the only one. My sinuses have been just on fire the last couple of days with some of the wind and storms here in Florida whipping up all this pollen this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. Cottonwood here, it's crazy. Okay. So it's not just the feel, think, and do emotional. It's the sense, feel, think, and do. So you can use a little bit of that sensory perception as well. Maybe not intuitive so much as if we all have senses about other things. Now, what is your sense about this? So again, it's to kind of grow ourselves, in a whole way. You know, it's not just emotionally, mentally, but it's also then we including a spiritual sense of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. 100%. One thing, we're going to be about that time of the evening, and you and I are both having some sinus issues, and we have a more closer circle of friends tonight, so I think we should just pull a couple of cards, and we'll probably call it a bit of an early night, as I can feel my nose closing up. I think you mentioning it made it get worse. You talking.
See, it's psychosomatic.
I'm telling you. I'm all kinds of psycho. At least that's what I'm told. But
insert here that we have some eventful weeks coming up. Dr. Kelly is coming on next week. The week after, we have Dr. Norman Wilson joining us. Mm-hmm. He's got a few things to share and some stuff he's written. And then the week after, we're going to have Wendy, our card keeper, and we're going to see some of the patterns and interesting insights that she has and whatever. Of course, I'll do my tarot thing too. So every 6 months or so, we get together, and when we draw these cards, is there a pattern? So mm-hmm. it'll be kind of an individual pattern or a collective pattern of just energies. And it's always interesting. So, it's going to be an eventful few weeks and less of me and Michael and more of our guests, which is just fine.
It's going to be a good time had by all.
Yeah.
I think me the most. I have to do the least because, I'm basically going to be nodding and I can already hear it in my voice. I'm going to be nodding along and trying to sound smarter every now and again, but mostly I'm just going to be nodding along. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But no, it's been a good discussion. And one thing I just want to throw out there, beliefs, your beliefs will affect your behaviors, and your behaviors will affect your reality. Karma may indeed be evident on a cosmic scale in some fashion. But we know that in, you know, a very realistic kind of materialistic way, it has a measurable impact in terms of you put good out in the world, you get it back, you're kind to people, you spread a little kindness in the world, they're more likely to be kind with you and to be kind with others. And the other thing I'll point out is that beliefs, you know, when you look at history, you beliefs always matter, whether they're, you know, quote-unquote real or not. In Iceland, to this day, they have roads that curve around certain things like different boulders and areas to avoid different fairies or, you know, woodland, you know, yep. It's that kind of Icelandic, Nordic, what is the word I'm looking for here? I want to say the mythology, but that I don't want to also, you know.
Well, there's sacred spaces of fairy rings or the elves and
right.
and such. And they do that, well, in all of the UK, especially Ireland, Scotland, mm-hmm. Wales. There's places throughout Europe, the same thing. You don't go in a fairy ring. And a fairy ring, for those who don't know, is when the grass goes in a circle. And things are not growing in the middle, or there's a ring of no grass. That means the fairies live there.
Mm.
So
fairies live in my backyard in different circles that go around, and usually where the dogs have been. I don't know if there's a correlation, but I'm talking about that when they pee, it makes the grass die a little.
Your
quicker.
Dogs are running in circles.
They do that too, actually. But
yeah, it's or there's special rocks with a history, or, you know, places that just seem to be sacred to those, you know, not just burial grounds, but that's very common. I've been in a lot of places where, nope, don't walk in there, and only certain people are allowed in an area, so other people are not allowed in, and that depends on what the elders say, you know. So it's sorry, I have to inject this. Wendy's saying, for her, karma is up there with lightning and Ferris wheels and her fears. Keeps me on the straight and narrow.
You know.
For beliefs, let me just inject. Kevin just added, he was unwilling to share that experience of seeing that spirit with his daughter because she's deeply religious and I didn't want to contradict her. How powerful belief
is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. There we go.
Very true. Very real. You know, I think a lot of people listening will know that feeling of we live in a very diverse, a very multicultural world, and mm-hmm. that is wonderful in, you know, so many vast ways, but there will be a friction at times from different, you know, belief systems kind of, you know, coexisting at once, and we tolerate each other, right? Because we know that's the way to coexist. But it can still be, you know, tense sometimes with people. You can't always feel comfortable. Hopefully, you can get to that point, though, over time and with a healthy relationship, you can get to that point.
Yeah. I'm going to share a quick story. I know I've shared it before. We do have a couple of cards to draw here. But when I was a young girl, early teens, I had a really good friend named Deborah. Now, Deborah and I used to, you know, read our like secret witch books, spell books, you know, and our basically a metaphysical stuff, spiritual study. We would find them, you know, in a library somewhere downtown or whatever, and go on excursions, and really into the study of it. And was she ever intuitive? Really interesting girl. And when she was about 16, she was just having all these reoccurring nightmares, and she finally told me she wasn't sleeping. She had these nightmares of being burned at the stake. Now, I mean, I'm stunned. I mean, she's not sleeping, whatever. I said, well, have you told your mom about this? Now, her mom really intimidated me, to be honest. Very gypsy-looking woman, had dark eyes, and anyway, beside the point. But she did tell her mother, finally. And her mother didn't say a word. She went to an old trunk and brought out a really old, it wasn't a photograph. at the same time. And at the time, it was more those, what are those pictographs? You know, those, Michael used to use them in old newspapers. Anyway, consider that it was a drawing slash photograph of a woman a long time ago that looked identical to Deborah. And so her mother said, this is your great-great-grandmother. She was burned at the stake for practicing witchcraft. Holy smokes. Now, this is a shocker, because you would swear it was the same, like they looked identical. So here's Deborah pursuing metaphysics and the interests of the paranormal. Now, we got a little bit older. I had, by the time I was 19, I'd moved away for a couple of years. And I came back, I was 22, having my first baby, and I really wanted to see her. You know, we had, and over the years, by the way, we had kept in touch. At one point, I'd had this astral experience and wrote her a letter, and I said, why do I see you in a room of white? And she wrote back and said, I redid my bedroom and it's all in white. Oh, all right then. So I get together with her. And we went to a nearby park, having a little picnic, coffee outside. And I started talking about when we were kids and the interests. She goes, we can't talk about that. Oh, she had become a devout Christian. Devout. Convinced she had been evil. And convinced that there was a part of her spirit that had been possessed. And that she had to live clean and in the name of Jesus Christ. I went, oh, wow. That, I don't know who you are, you know. But the impact of that experience for her. Now, she never got married. I talked to her, I've maybe talked to her three times since we were kids. I ran into her a couple of times back in Alberta, but she had never been married, went and had the same government job for 35 years, took over her mother's house, looked after her younger sister, and adopted a young girl with special needs. And that was her life, living as a spinster. What a radical about face.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you, Michael, she was beautiful. Oh, like, I mean, we'd walk into any kind of social gathering and all the men would look at her and then I get to have the conversations with them. But it was funny. But no, she was just drop dead gorgeous and a man magnet and loved dating and going out and stuff. But no, she just converted because of those dreams. Yeah,
the
belief is powerful.
It is, and existential dread and fear is powerful too.
And, all wrapped into one.
But so just think about how your beliefs are shaping your behaviors. Think about how your behaviors are shaping your reality. Words are easy, behaviors are tough. And that's been a good discussion. I do want to give a shout out here to Dr. Kelly. As you said, he is joining us next week. And I have an update on the topic. And that topic next week is going to be the reality of disclosure.
Ooh.
So, going to be looking forward to that topic.
Absolutely. So, we just have a couple of names tonight. I think first up, we're going to go with Dr. Kevin. What have you got for Dr. Kevin, Michael, in the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards?
Well, Dr. Kevin, for you tonight, I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy. So, Dr. Kevin, hope that hits.
Well, and interestingly enough, I got the Jack of Swords for that. Knight of Swords, Jack of Spades, in the tarot. One destiny in the Jack of Spades. You know, while we can feel like metaphysical humanists, sometimes we have to be warriors, or we have to assert ourselves or stand up for what we believe is right. And as Dr. Kelly wisely teaches, you know, knowing preference versus principle. And in this case, I think that you might be standing up for something in principle, Kevin, which requires you to be a little bit assertive. So it's calling on that warrior self for a moment. But because it's also a jack, I would say it's not where you have to be aggressive or too overt. It's Jack versus a king. And in my view, that you can temper it. So just know that, you know, use your own wisdom and, you know, we're all in this together and everybody's doing the best they can, you know. One planet, one destiny. So it just, some people don't know any better, but it might help to be enlightened. Mm. So.
Well, it always helps to be enlightened. Any situation is just helped by being enlightened, 100%.
All right, we have our card keeper, Wendy, tonight.
Wendy, for you tonight, I have number 14. Number 14, energy shift, new chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
It seems familiar for Wendy. Oh, she had that last week. That's why. Wow. I was just having this twinge of, isn't that familiar? Yeah.
It seemed to be, but I wasn't sure who we'd pulled it for, but I remember pulling it recently.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So we have the Six of Hearts. Six of Cups in tarot language. That has everything to do with family, commitments, service, community. It's like when you're going into this energy shift, new chapter, Wendy, it's like, who are your people? And you can manage in the world, but who are your real people? And in, it's like, where do you want to put your energy and how? But it could also be you're in more social situations here where you're meeting new others, but weeding out who you can really connect with and your new people, you know? So I think your world is expanding just a little. I think that's pretty cool. But at the same time, I want to say the flip side of that is nurturing your inner world. So I think that's a real affirmation, if you ask me. Well, you did ask me, so I told you. She said, oh, it makes sense. So, Well, I've enjoyed tonight, Michael. I have. I know.
It's been a good one. Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have a lot of people in the live chat, and other times we don't, but they listen in the archives, and we appreciate everybody. And, you know, those who are steadfast. And, yeah, we have quite the little community here. So, we appreciate everybody.
We do. We appreciate you. And as I said earlier in the chat, anybody that can hear my lab pit Marley snoring in the background, just know that that is a special bonus feature that only a select few are actually given privy to. So if you can hear that, know that you have been granted access to our select membership. But I digress. It's been a good conversation tonight. The power of belief is unimaginable. I mean, I truly think it exceeds human imagination, because, maybe I'm being a little hyperbolic, but I mean, you can literally change your reality simply through focusing on beliefs. You know, I'm thinking about monks focusing on heat in a frozen tundra situation. You know what I mean? Mm. But it is that time of the evening. We're going to bring it to a close, and as we close out the evening, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Oh, don't let them push you around out there, people. Stay true to who you are. You know, the world can be a wonky place, and, you know, you go out and you say, oh, I'm peopling again. But just be yourself. And, you know, all that other stressors, water off a duck's back. And, you know, don't let them push you around.
Be yourself. Be true to yourself. And take a little bit of time each day to appreciate and enjoy something about the wonder that is life. And can't wait to have Dr. Kelly with us next week. Can't wait to have you all join us again next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good evening. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.